Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the fact that no matter what happens in this world, you have a future for us that's secure. And we pray, Lord, that in this month, as people in the world are fearing the unknown, that we would realize that your future is always known, and it's for our good. And we pray these things in Jesus' precious and wonderful name. Amen. At the end of chapter 13, Jesus has told his disciples that they have a new commandment, that they love one another. And then Peter is told, it says in verse 36, Simon Peter said to him, talking to Jesus, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus answered him, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterwards. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. And Jesus answered him, will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, that the rooster will not crow till you've denied me three times. Now, Peter here is saying, Jesus, I can follow you wherever you go. Jesus, I can do what I need to go where you're going. Quite a boast. But it's a boast that Peter wasn't going to keep, and Jesus told him so. Peter says, Jesus, I'll give my life for you. I'm going to give my life. Now, eventually, he would. But right now, Peter is simply boasting to the other disciples. Remember what they've been talking about? They've been talking about who is greatest. And Peter's keeping this up. He's saying, I'm going to follow you anywhere. Jesus just turns to Peter and says, Peter, you can't follow me. In your own strength, you won't follow me. Tonight, before the rooster crows, you are going to deny me three times. And sure enough, he did. See, we can have all these grand plans about how we're going to follow Jesus. And if Christianity was about following Jesus, we'd all be lost. See, because salvation is by grace through faith, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, not of works that what? That no one should boast. Peter's boasting, says, Jesus, I'll follow you. I'll follow you anywhere. I'll follow you wherever you go. I'm willing to lay down my life for you. Wherever you're going, I can go too. And Jesus says, no, you can't. In yourself, in your own strength, you're a coward. You're wishy-washy. In the next couple hours, Peter would do two things. In the next three things. In the next few hours. First of all, he'd fall asleep during a real short time of prayer. Secondly, he'd cut off a guy's ear because he wasn't really good with a sword. And Jesus would have to heal that man's ear. And third, he'd deny him, including to his little servant girl, and run off into the darkness. See, that's you and that's me. It's really easy to be brave in church, isn't it? It's really easy to be brave when everyone else is around you speaking like you do. But when you're out in the world amongst the wolves and it's dark and Satan is attacking, remember in the Gospels, Jesus says during this same time, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you like wheat. And he says you to the whole group, not just Peter. See, Satan wants to sift you like wheat. Satan wants to take you and tear you apart. But like the sifting of wheat, what that ends up doing is purifying the wheat. But it still means that you're going to be taken and you're going to be torn spiritually, limb from limb, till you don't know what end is up. And all of us have been in Peter's place. How many of you have never fallen asleep during prayer? How many of you have always confessed to the Lord Jesus when you've had the opportunity? How many of us? How many of you have tried to use the world's weapons and failed like Peter did with his sword? See, this is a doomed boast. To say, I am going to follow Jesus on my own is a doomed boast, and it leaves us hopeless. But see, Jesus didn't want us to depend on our strength. He goes into chapter 14 after he just tells Peter, Peter, you know what? What you just boasted, you're not going to do. Then the next phrase is, let not your heart be troubled. And he's telling this to you and me too. He's saying, you know what? You're going to fail me. Every Christian is going to fail Jesus. And we're going to fall short. And if we look at it, and if Satan keeps on putting it on us, we're going to live a life that's full of stress and full of anguish that, oh God, I have failed you so terribly. Peter went through it. He didn't even want to face Jesus after the resurrection. He went fishing. But Jesus has a solution. And it's not work harder. He says, let not your heart be troubled. He exhorts us to live peacefully and unstressed. He says, you believe in God. And all of them did. They were Jews. He says, now, he says, I want you, Peter, don't trust in you. Don't trust in your strength. Don't trust in what you will do. Don't trust in you following me. He says, believe in God. Believe also in me. See, Jesus is the antidote to stress. Not your faith even. That's how you grab it. But Jesus is the antidote to stress. What is stressing you in your life right now? Whatever it is, Jesus is the medicine for it. Because he's your good shepherd. He laid down his life for his sheep. He will take you in and out and you'll find pasture, like he said in John chapter 10. He says, Peter, look, you're going to deny me three times. Don't stress it. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Hey, put your trust, put your confidence, believe also, Jesus says, in me. I've got it under control, Jesus says. It's going to happen the way I want it to. You will be fine. And so he goes on in the phrase that we've been singing about all this morning. In my Father's house are many mansions. Many rooms is probably a more accurate translation. Many dwelling places. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Now, this is a very interesting phrase because Matthew didn't write it in his gospel, and Mark didn't write it in his gospel, and Luke didn't write it in his gospel. They all were, you know, well, they all talked about this period of time during the Last Supper, but why was John so clear about this phrase? I want you to remember, John was written after Revelation. He saw it. Matthew didn't see it, and Mark didn't see it, and Luke didn't see it. But John saw it. In Revelation chapter 21, Jesus brought to John's vision the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. John was an old man by then. He was mining on Patmos, a prisoner. He was broken. His body was about ready to give up. And God started giving him these visions. And he stood out there and he looked up, and something with special effects that would beat anything that Hollywood could ever do happened to John. He's standing there and he sees a city floating down out of heaven. I mean, you know, I love in the science fiction movies when you see the big UFO, you know, the mothership come down. And, you know, if you remember, if any of you remember Independence Day, it came down and was over the White House, went, and everybody clapped because the White House was destroyed, you know. But this big old mothership, but usually the ship is a few city blocks if it's the big one. This one, when you look at what John saw in Revelation chapter 21, it gives in verse 16 of chapter 1, it gives the size of this city, but it gives it in measurements that we're not used to. It calls them stadia, but it's 12,000 stadia long. And what that translates to is about 1,500 miles. Now, how many of you have ever been to like Houston or Dallas or a big city, New York City or LA or something like that? You come in from the airplane. If you come in the air, you know, it just spreads out. But you know what? Houston, Dallas, you know, they may be, you know, 25, 30 miles of buildings in a big circle. This city that John saw float down out of heaven is 1,500 miles long and 1,500 miles wide and 1,500 miles tall. Now, I want you to think of seeing that thing come out of the sky. Remember that the tallest buildings that we have, that big one in Dubai or some of these others, they may be close to about a third of a mile tall. These huge skyscrapers, the Twin Towers that came down on 9/11 were about a quarter of a mile tall. I want you to picture a city 1,500 miles tall. And John is this little man, he's sitting there and he sees this thing go, coming down out of heaven to land on the new earth. And it's built out of transparent gold. You think God's got some neat metal technology? That is really awesome. And he sees this thing floating down out of heaven, and he remembers, I know he did, right? That when, oh, I remember when Jesus said, in my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. You know how many people you can fit in a city 1,500 miles long and 1,500 miles wide, and that's from here to Florida and from Florida up to Washington, D.C. and back across one city. That's the Father's house where there are many rooms. And what it's, see, and the thing is, none of that space is for a lot of the things that we have in our cities today, like government buildings and bureaucratic things. It's all open. And there's no traffic jams because, like our glorified bodies, you go boop and you'll appear somewhere else. It's not like, can you imagine commuting in a car in a 1,500-mile wide city? Glad we don't have to. He saw this thing come out of heaven and he remembered. And so he put, when he wrote his gospel, he talked about this. But see, the thing about it is, this is what he's trying to say. He's saying, there is room for anyone who wants to come. You don't have to worry about space in my Father's house. That's why in chapter 22 of the book of Revelation, he talks about in verse 17, he said, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let anyone who thirsts come. Now, I'll tell you something else that this also means to me. It means that in the end, Christians are going to be a great, 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 great number. Because I don't think God is building ghost buildings to be empty for the rest of eternity. So when you go out and witness, rest assured that God will fill his city with rejoicing, happy, delighted saints. It would be terrible if only like 1/100th of the mansions were filled. They won't be. It'll be filled. But the promise that'll help us in everything in my life, as we talked about in the songs that we sang, you know, today I've tried, I'm tested, but in that day, I'm secure. You know, some of us here might, we don't know what the world is going to bring. We might be homeless one of these days. We don't know. People go through all sorts of things. But I guarantee you that your eternal home in Jesus Christ is secure. No matter what happens to you in this life, and this is what he's telling his disciples, no matter what happens to you in this life, you are guaranteed, if you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are guaranteed an eternity in the house of the Father. It will come out right. So don't stress it. Because no matter what happens here on earth, no matter how dark it gets, no matter how big the testing, no matter how much Satan sifts you, you will end up victorious. And that's a wonderful thing in this world. The promise is in my Father's house. This is why we should not be troubled. There are many mansions. If this weren't true, he says, I'd have told you so. You know, if he said, you know, in my Father's house, there's only this amount of numbers. You better book it. Make sure your reservation is secure and keep calling. Make sure we haven't given it away to somebody else. He doesn't say that. He says, this is, you can rest on this. Don't stress the trip. You're going to be there at the house. Then he says a very interesting thing. He says, I go to prepare a place for you at the end of verse 2. Now, this verse is often misunderstood. A lot of preachers have preached this, that Jesus is sort of like right now building. You know, he's Jesus, where's Jesus right now? He's sitting on his throne. He's ruling and reigning. He's not out there with a hammer preparing you a room. I heard one preacher, I've heard it a couple times, but I remember the first time I heard it, a preacher in the youth group where I was when I was just a newly saved believer. And he says, you know, Jesus, God made this universe in 6 days. He said 2,000 years ago, I'm going to prepare a place for you. He's been making that place for 2,000 years. Can you imagine how amazing, if this universe is so amazing, was made in 6 days, can you imagine what your place is like that Jesus has been working on for 2,000 years? And when I was a young Christian, it sort of inspired my mind. I mean, the picture is great. You know, Jesus is up there, you know, hammering gold bricks in some city up in heaven. But that's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about Jesus, the master house builder. He's not talking about Jesus coming up to Brian and Kevin and saying, I need you to run some electrical wire between this place and that one over there. The place he was going right now, where he was going to prepare a place for us, is not heaven, it's the cross. See, the place was already prepared. What does he say? In my Father's house, what? Are many mansions. The mansions are there. We just couldn't get there. See, that's what he's telling Peter. Peter's saying, I'll follow you. I'll get there. Jesus says, No. You got it all wrong. I am going to prepare a place because you can't come the way it is right now. And I'm going to prepare it for you by opening the door. He says later, I am the what? The way. I am the way. So Jesus was not going to heaven to use a hammer and a plumb line and a brick cement mixer. Jesus, he's telling Peter, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Now, I'm leaving. I'm going to the cross. I'm going to prepare a place for you in those mansions. The mansions are there, but you don't have a place yet. But you will. Jesus prepared a place on Calvary. He did it. You know, He is the Savior. He is the one that takes us out of the horrible pit, Psalm 40, out of the miry clay, and sets our feet upon a rock and establishes our going. We don't claw out of the rock and follow Him. Once we're on the rock, once He's saved us, once He's delivered us, He gives us the power to follow Him. But He's the one that has to take us out. He's the one that was going to become sin for us, 2 Corinthians 5:21, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He's the one who's preparing our place on Calvary. And so He goes to prepare a place for us. And He says, and here's the second promise. The first promise is there is a place. The second promise that He gives us is, I will return to take you there. And so He goes on there in chapter 14. He says, verse 3, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He says, Peter, you don't have to worry about getting there. I'm going to come and get you. And what a wonderful thing that is, because it's so hard sometimes to, even here on earth, you know, if you're in a strange city and you don't have GPS and, you know, how do I get to where I want to go? How do I get? And some people are not very good at giving directions, and we get lost even here on earth. And it's so easy to get lost on the way to heaven as far as by ourselves. You know, if we had to figure out, how am I going to get there? How many of you know where heaven is right now? Where is it? You die and you say, now see how you get there. Well, Google doesn't work there. I don't know. And this is Thomas's question. He comes up and says, we don't know the way. Jesus said, don't worry. I'm coming to pick you up. I'm going to take you there. You don't have to stress about how to get there. I will return and receive you unto myself, that wherever I am, there you may be also. And that's a wonderful promise. See, Paul says this, if we have hope of Jesus only in this life, we are of all people most to be pitied. 1 Corinthians 15. No, I have hope of Jesus in the next life, that He's going to come get me and He's going to take me where He is. But now I want to get to the important point, because he talks about the Father's house. But the important thing is, it's the Father's house. Because you can talk about streets of gold and the tree of life and the river of life and all that. It's all you want. But if the Father is not there and if the Son is not there, it's just another city. And so Jesus now switches the focus. He switches it to the Father. Thomas said to him, verse 5, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man goes to heaven but by me. Is that what the verse says? That's one of the meanings of it. But no, it says, no one comes to the Father but by me. See, heaven is just the place we're going to be, but heaven is not the important thing. It's not a matter of, am I going to heaven? It's a matter of, am I going to enjoy the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, but the Father? It's my Father's house, Jesus says. It's not just a big house, a golden house, a mansion over the hilltop. It's my Father's house. And the important thing in my Father's house is my Father. See, I love the Brian's little girl, Suzanne, came over to be babysat Friday night. And she came over not because she needed babysitting, because she was bugging the daylights out of her mom. Can we go to grandma's house? Can we go to grandma's house? Can we go to grandma's house? Now, she didn't want grandma's house. If grandma hadn't been there, the house wouldn't matter, would it? What'd she want? She wanted grandma. She wanted that, the person that made that house special. You know, we talk about heaven. I want heaven. I want my Father's house. It's not the house. It's the Father. Because heaven is just a place. And a place that after 4 billion years would probably, I've got to see those golden streets again, you know. But the Father is always new. The Father, there's always more. The Father is into infinite. God never runs out of newness and freshness and greatness. It's always, as C.S. Lewis said in the Narnia books, deeper, farther up and deeper in to the person of God. And 7 Google years in the future, we will get up and there'll be something new because it's the Father's house. And Thomas says, how can we know the way? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and not life, but the life. Because really living, he says in chapter 17, verse 3, is knowing God. Everything else is secondary. Everything else is icing. Everything else is optional. But Jesus says in John 17, verse 3, he says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, Father, and the Son whom you sent. You know, the reason, the devil is very good at making heaven look boring. You know, and the average person's picture of heaven, what is it? Little clouds and little, you know, toilet paper angels and little harps. If that's heaven, I'm sure I want it. I mean, I'd rather have an electric guitar than a harp anyway. And I don't want to be a little, you know, baby angel. But heaven is not that. And then they present hell so good. I remember AC/DC song, I'm on the highway to hell. It's party time. No! You won't party in hell. It's not even a party with the air conditioner broken. You'll be alone in hell. No God there. No people there. Wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever, the book of Jude says. Eternal life is knowing God, of whom there's no end. That's what we have looking for. So let not your heart be troubled. This is what you have in store for you. Eternal life in the heavenly city in your Father's house. So get out there and live. Live without fear. Live without stress. Live without troubling in your heart. Because as wild as the ride might be, your end in the Father's house is secure. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Father's house. Not because it's streets of gold, mansions over the hilltop, but because it's the Father's house. And Father, we long for that day when we will see you face to face and be transformed, where we will know you forever in a perfect place. Not because we are so good at following, and making it through the obstacles, because we're like Peter. We'll deny you as quick as can be. But because you promise that the house is there, that you're there, and that your son will return and he will receive us unto himself, and we'll be secure, Father, in your house, because we are one of Jesus' brethren. And we pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.